risen. But for whom? For whom has Christ risen? Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to worship and praise and adore you, to give you the glory and honor you deserve. We pray as we deliberate, as we meditate, as we pray over these scriptures and learn from them, that your Spirit would guide and direct us. May the words then of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm a fan of the church. I'm a fan of information about the church, statistics and trends in the church. You could call me a student of ecclesiology, which is really just a big word that means church, a student of the church. A couple years ago, the Barna Research Group, they do a lot of research, especially in regards to the church. They identified a new group of Americans, about 10% of the population. So this is a significant group of people. These people they defined as those who love Jesus, but not the church. And this fascinates me, because it doesn't really add up. As Pastor Corey has said before, this is like loving me, Steve, but not loving my wife, Jeanette. And that's just weird. Because the reality is, as the Bible teaches, the church is the bride of Christ. Now, there's good reason today, I will admit, to not love the church, especially if you define her by her failings. Scandals, abuses, impropriety, cover-ups have negatively marked her, admittedly. However, does that mean we stop loving her? I certainly would not stop loving my kids just because they fail. Now, they're pastor's kids, so they're perfect. Because we all know about pastor's kids, don't we? But if they did fail, I would love them. Because I don't define my kids, neither do you define your kids by their failings. You accept and love them in spite of those failings. I want to suggest to you this Easter, as we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that Jesus was purposely raised for the church, the assembly of the people of God, those who are believers. In John 20 and verse 17, as we heard the gospel read, Jesus said to Mary, who's in the garden, having been one of the first witnesses to the resurrection, if not the first, he says to her, "Do not hold on to me." You see, that's her desire, to keep him there. But instead he says, "I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." I believe as Jesus spoke these words, he was speaking the reality of the truth of his death and resurrection, that we, the church, the assembled people of God, now share as his brothers and sisters because of the resurrection, and as God the Father's sons and daughters, we share in a divine inheritance that is the kingdom of God. And this is nothing new. We ought not be surprised that Jesus rose for the people of God. King David, the one who's attributed to writing the Psalms, as Kathy read for us Psalm 118 this morning, he wrote thousands of years before Jesus these words, "The stone that is Jesus, the builders rejected," that is the crucifixion, Jesus came to his own people and they rejected him and crucified him. But that wasn't the end of the story, But this stone that was crucified has become the cornerstone. But the cornerstone of what? See, a cornerstone is that stone in the foundation that has its purpose and meaning to set up the whole structure. Without the cornerstone, there is no structure. And I would suggest that the cornerstone that David is talking about as he talks about the Messiah giving this prophecy is Jesus himself. And I believe Paul, as he writes to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2, has this psalm in mind. You see, Paul is a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew of Jews, and he knows all too well this text. And so he can tell the church, consequently, he says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief, did you catch it? Cornerstone. Paul's talking about the church here. Jesus was raised to ascend and have power, dominion, and authority over and through the church, which he established. Now, yes, I'm not denying this morning that Jesus died and was raised for you personally. I think that's true, obviously. But we only have one side of the coin if we say, my faith is personal. I can live out my faith without anybody else. Because Jesus was raised for the church, friends. Jesus was raised for the assembly that we might come together. And here's a news flash. This might be new information for you. If you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, you and the church cannot be separated, even if you want it to be. Because you are part of the church of Christ. I want you to know, because you are a part of the church of Christ, that you are especially welcome here in the church of Jesus Christ in Richland. I want you to know, even more than that, I want you to know that you belong here. That God has you here today to hear his words, church, believers, followers of Jesus Christ, you belong here. And here's why. First, this is your safe home. In Ephesians chapter 2, as I read for us earlier, we are reminded that we, as God's people, as those who know and receive Christ's death and resurrection, we are part of his household. And if you're part of a household, there is a home to which you go. And where is that home? I would suggest to you, it's right here. Surprise, you're in it. In the home of God. And this is a safe place. It's not just a catchy name when we call this space the sanctuary. Have you picked up on that? This isn't the assembly hall or the auditorium. This is the sanctuary. And it's a sanctuary from the kingdom of the world, where the kingdom of God lives and exists and manifests itself through the church. You belong here. You belong here also because this, the church, is your loving family. Jeanette and I moved up here with our boys. Well, it's been 8.5 years. I can't believe it's been that long. As a 40-some-odd-year-old, young. I turned 50 this year. That's crazy. And all of our family is still down in California. So we moved up here without family. But I must tell you, we now have a family. You are our family. And friends, this is your family. Jesus' family. As Jesus was preaching in the city where he was born and raised, Nazareth, his family came to the house where he was teaching. They thought Jesus was off his rocker. And we could guess why. Jesus was talking about some pretty strange things. Namely, he was the Messiah. He was God. And so his mother and his brother show up at the house where he's teaching, and they say, "Go tell Jesus that we're here." And Jesus responds to the messenger, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And then pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Go ahead, look around. You can do it. I know you're Lutherans and you sit like this and you can't really move. But look around. This is your family. These are your brothers and your sisters and your mother. This is what Jesus says. And the resurrection makes this true. You belong here. You belong here because this, the church, is your encouraging community. We all belong to many communities. School, work, hobbies, neighborhoods. But this is a community that's special to bring you encouragement and love. In Hebrews, the writer says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Apparently, what was happening in the church, as the writer of Hebrews writes, is that people were not meeting together. They had given up coming together and assembling as God's people. Sound familiar? It's like today. Things have not really changed that much. But the writer says, this is your community, this is your home, this is your family, and this is where you are encouraged to love and to good deeds. You belong here. You belong here because this is your spiritual body. The Apostle Paul uses the body as an analogy for the church. "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body." This isn't a suggestion or a question. This is a declaration. This has happened. "Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many, and you are a part of that body. And without you, we, the church, are at a loss. We miss you. We need you." Paul says, if the hand says to the foot, "You're no good, hit the road," that we are not living according to how we are to live in the church. You belong here. You belong here. This, the church, is your kingdom refuge. We live in two worlds, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And when we're living in the kingdom of the world without the kingdom of God, we're lost. If we're by ourselves, stranded on an island, being blown and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, says the writer of Scripture. But when we're rooted in the church, where the manifestation of the kingdom of God is real and present, we find refuge, we find safety. This is our harbor from the storm. Jesus says to Peter, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Then Jesus says something pretty miraculous. "I will give you," and I believe he means the church, plural, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Friends, you belong here. Christ died and was raised for the church, that we might manifest and live the kingdom of God, not alone, but together. Christ has risen. He has risen for his bride, the church, for you. You belong here. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.